Welcome to Shedding Starlight, your guide to the Kingdom Hearts mythos. This episode, we'll be discussing a new league of enemies introduced in Chain of Memories, referred to as the Organization. Its members wear the very same black coats worn by the first Kingdom Hearts secret boss and the figures of its secret ending.
Before we discuss this organization as a whole, we're going to comb through each member we've met in Chain of Memories so that if we mention someone by name, new fans will know who we're referring to. We won't be going in order of rank, but rather their roles in the story. Re-Chain of Memories also has certain enemy cards you fight with featuring more characters with similar black hoods. We're not going to discuss these characters, since they're otherwise not featured in this game at all.
The organization here at Castle Oblivion is split into two smaller groups, the group that manipulates Sora, and the other group that monitors Riku. Let's begin with the former. First is Marluxia. Marluxia is the final boss guy with pink hair, who also appeared to Sora in the beginning of the game with his hood up. While being ranked 11th in the organization, which is the second lowest of all the members we know of, he's still referred to as the Lord of the Castle, as he was anointed head of operations at Castle Oblivion. To help remember his name, Marluxia sounds like fuchsia, which is a pink flower. Marluxia's partner in crime is Larxene, the only woman among these organization members, and she's coincidentally the lowest ranked member at number 12. Larxene kind of sounds like Maxine, which is a woman's name. Marluxia and Larxene's agenda in Chain of Memories was to take over the organization by using Naminé to brainwash Sora, therefore having the Keyblade wielder's power under their control. Unfortunately, the organization itself, its goals, and means to achieving them is so mysterious that we don't yet really understand why Marluxia and Larxene wanted this other than a general quest for power.
Vexen is the scientist with long, straight hair. He's the fourth and highest ranked in the organization so far. He expects other members' respect, not only because of his high rank, but also because of his genius, as Vexen created the puppet that perfectly replicated Riku. You can remember his name by thinking of the word Vex, since Vexen is easily annoyed by his comrades. Axel, number 8, is the one with spiky red hair. He is definitely the wild card of the group, as he plays the traitors, Marluxia and Larxene, against the organization itself. The way Axel summons spinning chakrams to fight resembles the way wheels spin on an axle, so that's one way you can remember his name. Marluxia maneuvers Vexen into eliminating Sora, and even though Vexen didn't end up doing so, Marluxia took this as an excuse to test Axel's nerve. Axel, to gain Marluxia and Larxene's trust, killed Vexen before he could warn Sora even more that Marluxia is using him. Axel then lets Naminé escape, allowing her to meet with Sora and explain everything. It seems Axel was willing to sacrifice Naminé and Vexen as pawns in order to prevent Marluxia and Larxene from successfully taking over the organization.
So, to summarize the members in Sora's path, Marluxia and Larxene plot to overtake the organization. Axel deceives them into believing he's with them by killing Vexen, and behind their back he releases Naminé to help Sora stop them. But all of this occurs in the upper floors. There are still two members to address that await in the dim basement floors.
Lexius is the large built man who reserved his fierce strength until absolutely necessary. He's ranked number 5, the second highest in the organization. You might remember his name by correlating Lexius to Flexius, since he has large muscles to flex. Zexion is the smaller man with gray hair obscuring his face who would wait with Lexius, reporting on what he sensed happening within the castle. Zexion's name, depending on how you pronounce it, could sound similar to the word section, and he has a large section of hair in his face. Or, if you pronounce his name similar to the word lexicon, Zexion fights with spellbooks full of knowledge. Zexion and Lexius are loyal to the organization, so when they learn Marluxia is trying to control Sora for himself, they try to gain control of Riku to counteract him. Only they fail, defeated by Riku's dark power.
Lexius attempted to gain control of Riku with brute strength, but Zexion attempted via emotionally manipulative means, using his power of illusions to dishearten Riku in the card world of Destiny Islands. However, Zexion narrowly survived Riku, retreating to another basement room in Castle Oblivion for safety. But he met his demise by the replica of Riku, under Axel's guidance. Once again, Axel comes in and apparently turns on his own comrade for mysterious reasons.
You just found out way too much.
The only hint we have of what it was that Zexion learned is that he has the ability to smell or sense people who are in the castle. Now that we've combed through the various organization members, we can now move forward and talk about them as a whole.
While each member is unique in their powers and abilities, there is a lot that remains consistent between them all. For one, you may have noticed all their names include the letter X, albeit pronounced in various ways. Axel versus Marluxia have two different X's, but X's nonetheless. All members of the organization also, of course, sport the same long black coat. And as we mentioned, this is the same getup worn by mysterious characters in the first Kingdom Hearts game. Unfortunately, none of those characters have any vocal lines, so we're unable to recognize if any of them are here in Chain of Memories. But why does the organization even wear these coats? Diz, a new character, says to Riku and Mickey that these coats protect the rarer from being devoured by darkness. He emphasizes that not even this group rules over the darkness. And that is what makes the organization so interesting. We discussed in our first season that Ansem surrendering to the darkness gave him power over it. But this group is different. They're eager for both Sora's power of light and Riku's power of darkness because they don't maintain either themselves.
In fact, in the first Kingdom Hearts game, Ansem describes something like this in his 13th report. A being that is neither darkness nor light, belonging nowhere, abandoned by its heart, a mere shell of its former self. This rings similar to how the members describe themselves and each other.
Do either one of us have the heart to believe anyone?
If the members of the organization are beings of neither light nor darkness, and are beings without hearts, it can only mean they are the very beings Ansem dubbed Nobody.
We nobodies can never hope to be somebodies.
But what do these nobodies want? We said that the organization desires Sora's power of light and Riku's power of darkness, but we don't yet know their objective with Sora and Riku, or even why Marluxia and Larxene sought to have them for their own power instead of comply with the organization.
What we do know about the organization is that it consists of members who are loyal, treacherous, and members who pretend to be both. One thing is for sure, we've only met half of at least 12 members, so hopefully, if we meet the other half, we'll learn of the organization's true intentions. Everybody, welcome to the discussion portion of this episode of Shedding Starlight,
yeah.
Which was about the organization.
Yeah.
We get to meet the organization.
Yes! Let's go.
Look, you know, this is how you know I was born into the era of like emos, because I look at this stupid black coat and I'm just like, oh my god, oh my god, goth, it's crazy. I love these bitches. I love every single fucking one of them. Which is crazy because you would think with the amount of characters there are, we haven't even met all of them.
I know.
We've only met a portion.
But the ones we met are so cool. They're so cool.
I love every single fucking one of them. I really do.
Me too. I do. I love their hair. I love how dramatic they are. I love their stupid weapons.
I love their bickering.
Their family drama. I love it. They're messy, yes. And we love it.
You know that Christmas is awful. It's awful.
Family reunions, we don't even talk about it.
Forget it. Okay, so just real quick, let's just go over from who ranks the highest to the lowest that we know of. Who's the top dog? Who's the flop? Okay.
The flop.
So it goes from highest to lowest. It goes Vexen.
Yes.
Lexius. Uh-huh. Zexion. Axel. Marluxia. And then Larxene.
And Larxene is the farthest thing from a flop. Let's be clear about that.
God. You know, when I was younger, I didn't like her. Isn't that crazy? I think when I was younger, I didn't like Larxene because, you know, I just thought she was a bitch, right?
Yeah.
But there's something about, I can't speak for you, but immersing myself in queer culture and embracing this side of myself really kind of made me appreciate bitches and assholes.
Yes.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
She's a see you next Tuesday, and we love that about her. We love it.
I've never heard that before. That is so funny.
I don't want to actually say it. you get what I mean. But yeah.
Her charisma, her uniqueness, her nerve, and her talent. Yeah. Okay. The reason why I wanted to bring up all these characters in the order that they're ranked is because the gull, the gumption, the nerve of Marluxia and Larxene to look at these other bitches who are ranked so much higher to them than them and to be like, we can take them. We can take these guys. Like,
to be fair,
they're nothing.
Most of the rest, like at least two of the other ones that are here are just fucking nerds. They're just like little weird scientist bitches. So like, okay, I get it. A little bit.
God, I love Vexen. He's so embarrassing, but you know, there are people out there. Listen, if you're listening and you identify as this, you're safe here. At least you're safe with me. I can't speak for Hannah, but you're safe with me.
Yeah, you are.
Vexen fuckers, they're out there. They're out there in the world, and they're living and they're thriving. And we need to give them a safe place to live.
Absolutely.
And that's here.
The cheekbones, okay? I get it. The cheekbones.
Anyway, I just think it's just so fucking funny that Marluxia and Larxene had the nerve.
Yeah.
The fucking nerve.
It's great. I love it. And like, I don't know. I think they're two of the coolest out of these, at least this group. Oh, Axel's out there.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Absolutely.
They are so cool. I love them. They're so fun. Pink hair, yellow hair. Love to see it. They're like, they could be like Pokemon gym leaders for sure.
Literally, I always think of them as Team Rocket. I don't know why. I always do. There's fan art of it out there. I know I'm not the only one, but they are Team Rocket to me.
But yeah, just like my thought on their rank is I'm interested in like all of the thought put into this mission, especially because like it's interesting to speculate on what like the leaders of this organization thought the priority of this mission is, sending so many of the members to go do all of this, but knowing that there's going to be a traitor and then also sending that low rank of people. Like most of these are in the second half of at least these 12 that we know of.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
In doing research for this, because I was trying to find, like, we haven't talked about it yet, because first of all, let me say this, okay? So, I had always heard that Marluxia was originally planned to be a woman, right? So, it would have been two bad girls, two baddies working together, right? And then, for some reason, they changed Marluxia into a man. And I was like, okay, I don't want to bring this up on the podcast unless I can back it up. So where's the source? Where have I always heard this fucking legend about Marluxia? Mm-hmm. So I found it translated by Goldpanner, OG Kingdom Hearts translator. It's been there forever. Like, shout out. Really reliable.
Shout out.
And they translated a very old, I think it was from 2006. I could be misremembering, but I think it was a 2006 interview about Chain of Memories. Where Nomura talks about all of these different organization members and mentions Marluxia originally being a woman. And so, I don't know why I brought this up. There was a reason. And it's not even the reason that I wrote down.
I was talking about priority of the mission, talking about ranks, traitors. Marluxia was previously a woman. I don't know.
Fuck. Well, either way, there's a nice, interesting little tidbit for you to know. Yeah.
Having two women take over the organization?
Maybe that's where I was trying to go. Maybe yeah. I was trying to go with, like, how... Because, like, I can understand why they didn't want to have that implication. But, yeah. like, that would have been so
It would have been weird. Everything. I wrote everything. You wrote this point down here, and I wrote under it, sorry, Marluxia, I love you, but this would have been so slay. This would have been incredible. It would have been everything.
Yeah. Totally.
Because, like, Lord knows that Kingdom Hearts needs more interesting female characters at this point in this story. Like, we know it. Like... Count the number of female-to-male characters. You know we need some more. You know it's a bit outbalanced right now.
Especially because we need more baddies. Yeah. Like, I love all the girls that we have right now, but mm-hmm. they're just so nice. You know, like, Nominee's really nice.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We could talk about Larxene all fucking day.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, I think... Marluxia originally being a woman is very interesting because you do see like the leftover, like the ripples of that change. So like, well, I guess that's not really the word that I'm looking for, but I can't think of the expression. And listener, I know that you're smart and you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You can see like the leftover ideas of that change because like
the footprint or
something.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, like outside of like, if, you know, obviously you and I are queer, you know,
yeah.
I feel like I'm like not very gender, I don't even know our own terminology, whatever. Pink hair is usually associated with girls, right?
Yeah.
So you would kind of look at Marluxia and if you saw a picture of him, he's so pretty, you might mistake him for a woman anyway, you know? And of course, like there's like his power over flowers.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might not know this if you just watch the cutscenes on YouTube, but Marluxia in his boss fight has this monster that he uses where it's like a feminine hooded monster. It almost looks like a final evolution of a Digimon. You know how Digimon, when they evolve more, they get more humanoid?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
You know what? We just talked a lot about Marluxia's boss form.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to warn the listeners. I don't think it's wise. I think there's a chance that if you Google Marluxia's final boss form, you might get spoiled on something that you wouldn't think would be relevant, but in time it will be. And You know, you might spoil yourself on something unexpected.
You know what we can do? I will put in the description of the episode the link with the timestamp to this scene, so you don't have to Google it.
I think that's great. Okay, great.
The timestamp of a YouTube video with Marluxia's boss fight, so you don't have to do it yourself. Yeah,
that's great. Thank you.
You're
anyway.
PSA, don't do it. Just in general, it's a pretty good idea to not Google Kingdom Hearts stuff. Even if you think it is like the most innocuous, like, oh, this character won't ever come up again. Don't do it. Like, it's most likely you're going to see something from later on that you're not going to want to see.
Yeah.
So just a general
thing,
PSA.
Yeah, the good thing about Kingdom Hearts is that it always comes back to a circle. The bad thing about Kingdom Hearts is that it always comes back to a circle.
Like, yeah. Yeah. He's also on, like, they're floating on a platform that, like, is a woman. Hold on. I just watched this. Like, whenever it's, like, showing the whole, it looks like the bow of a ship, almost. The, like, literally the arena they're fighting on. And there's, like,
you know,
a little.
Show me. I can't picture it that well.
Here, hold. I have it timestamped. I will send it to you right now. It does, like, a little flourish around the arena, and they show there's a, I'm pretty sure that's a woman. I guess it could be genderless,
oh,
but
yeah,
like she's skinty. She's got a body yeah, yada.
She's cinched.
So it's kind of
I'm
cool.
So sorry for the people who listen to us and don't know what the fuck we're saying, but you're lost.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
God, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
This is so, and this, I think, really, in terms of aesthetics, it really starts to lead you into the direction that Kingdom Hearts tends to go. Because I wouldn't necessarily say that this look of this final boss reminds me of Kingdom Hearts 1, mm-hmm. but it definitely reminds me of Kingdom Hearts 2,
yeah.
which we haven't even gotten to, obviously, but.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, this, okay, maybe this is what I was trying to go, maybe, okay, I think this is what I was trying to say. I think I remembered my point from like 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Is that it's interesting. I wonder if the head of the organization, whoever this person or these people are, I wonder if they could kind of detect that Marluxia had this power mm-hmm. because it's such a crazy formation that no other organization member has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that's why Marluxia was anointed as the head of all of these things going on at Castle Oblivion.
Yeah, does anyone else, any of the other members we fight in this game have a form like this? We just fight them as people, right? We just fight them hand-to-hand combat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Interesting, but when, I'm gonna cut this out, but whenever you first started saying if the leaders could detect this, I was like, homosexual detected in my mind.
I think we should keep it in, but I trust your judgment.
But yeah, another point that I want to bring up is that something that I have kind of doted on through my whole recent Kingdom Hearts journey is character design, and especially with these black coats. And I really want to applaud the team for being able to make someone distinct just based on their head, which is a talent and also kind of funny. But it's like, it explains why they, I mean, it somewhat explains why they each have crazy hair, crazy multicolored, spiky,
which
flowy hair.
I feel like that's such a remnant of the mid-2000s. And part of me wonders, like, outside of, like, well, okay, you know what? I just remembered Genshin and VTubers, so I was gonna say that, like, outlandish anime characters are not in the norm, but they are absolutely
they are.
Still in the norm, and
Hatsune
I don't know
Miku,
what I'm talking
we
about.
Love you.
At least, like, in terms of recent Kingdom Hearts specific, I feel like nowadays, most Kingdom Hearts new characters have very... Oh, shit. You know what? Maybe I just don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Because I was about to say they all have very realistically colored hair. But there's literally a character with, like, curly silver white hair. So I don't know what I'm saying. None of them look like fucking Zexion. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
I love Zexion. But I was looking today and I was like, his hair is so crazy. But let me tell you, the emos ate it up. The emos ate it up.
I wanted to be... Okay, so I was a... Growing up, I went to Catholic school. in Southwest Missouri. So, like, I want, in the depths of my heart, I wanted to be a scene girl so fucking bad. But, like, you, like, when I was, like, you know, 12, because I saw them online, and I was like, I want to be that. They're so cool. Yes! They're so pretty. And I could absolutely never even dream of actually doing something like that and going to school. But that was just my sad reality. It's probably because I also liked Kingdom Hearts when I was that young, but
yeah,
it is an artifact of its time. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it.
What if people, you know what? We don't have to keep this in, but let me say that I think scene kids would have lived for Crocs with decorative pins in them. Yes. I think they would have ate that shit up, dude.
Oh my God.
They would have had that stupid little Pop-Tart cat. They would have had Adventure Time.
Yes.
And they would have had Sora, like,
oh my gosh,
the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, so I also want to talk about Axel. Because I kind of forgot that. So Axel. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I kind of forgot that this is how Axel starts off, is being. There's something about him specifically in Chain of Memories that I. It's like. He just seems way more mischievous in this game than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So, for example, here is what Jiminy's journal has to say about Axel. Hard to read. Half the time, Axel seems to just be messing around. But for all we know, he's done more thinking than everyone else put together. Like, what the fuck?
That's wild. That's wild for Jiminy to reach into Axel's psyche like that. And fucking read him. But yeah, he's slippery.
Psychoanalyzed.
He's like, I feel like slippery is a good way to.
That is a really good way.
Describe him in this game. He flip-flops and he is clearly acting of his own intentions or someone else's secret intentions.
That's the thing. Okay, so I can't tell as a Chain of Memories if he has the vibe of like a rogue, someone who's working on his own intentions for his own secret plans, or if he's like a plant or an assassin, because I feel like a plant implies he's working for someone else.
Yeah.
But he could be a rogue where he's working for himself. And the fact that we can't tell and that he doesn't have, like, he doesn't say anything to hint one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, he does when he, we talked about how he has the replica of Riku kill Zexion. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you just found out way too much.
Yeah.
Like, that is just such a crazy line to put in so early of a Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's so good though. Oh. And the fact that he, you know, Zexion was number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Axel just straight up killed Vexen. Just not even like a battle.
Yeah.
He just kind of fucking
incinerates
blew
him,
up.
Yeah.
Incinerates him. And so it really goes to show the lengths that he's willing to get his hands dirty to accomplish whatever he needs accomplished.
Yeah.
And that is something I think we kind of forget about in the future.
Yeah.
That he's willing to get down in the dirt and do what needs to be done. And I think that's just kind of hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, all these members are hot to a degree. Like,
especially Axel, whose fucking element is fire, but that's besides the point.
Yeah. I had a thought, but it escaped my head. I don't remember what I was going to say.
But let me nominate you and put it back.
I know. Rewrite it. So I kind of wanted to bring it back to the notion that all of these people are nobodies.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the 13th report. Where is the quote? I pasted it down here for easy access. A being that is neither darkness nor light, belonging nowhere, abandoned by its heart, a mere shell of its former self. And I really wanted to hang on to those last two words, former self, because it implies that these people were maybe different before. If they are shells of their former self, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who these people really are, if they differ from, you know, what we see of them now, like, and all their history and stuff like that.
And that reminds me of Axel again, because it's like, you know, you think about all these different members and how they're now a part of this weird kind of syndicate league thing. And it's like, do any of their motivations tie back to their quote-unquote former selves?
Yeah.
Or is it something that's only started to be planted and to sprout when they've joined this organization?
Yeah. I do remember what I was going to say. It's something I did write down here. Okay. Whoever is leading these bitches does not know how to spot the loyal ones. Like, they are not doing a very good job of trying to find people who will work for them and only them. Like, at least three of these people are acting of their own intentions, probably.
Poor Zexion and Lexius, because those two really just seemed like they were the most loyal, but they're stuck in, like, this room with the lights off, and they don't really know what's going on.
Oh my gosh. My last point here, before we move on to email questions. The last person I wanted to bring up, who did we talk about him at all in this script? Yes, we did. We talked about him a little bit.
We mentioned him.
Diz, who we will have a separate episode on. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to look at the fact that he clearly knows this organization, has a history, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting to think about what his motivations are. Why is he here? What is he doing? Was he possibly part of this organization and then left? Like, what's the deal? He's obviously not dressed the same way these people are, but he is all wrapped up. So, like, what's going on?
Especially because, like, so when he gives a black coat to Riku at the end of Chain of Memories, he says something about, like, this coat will render you invisible to the organization. And it's like, but also will protect you from being devoured by darkness, which to me implies, like, two things about him for not wearing that coat himself. Is that, one, he's not scared of being devoured by darkness because he doesn't wear a coat to protect him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care if the organization detects him.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's, he's clearly willing to, like, step on their property and to just fully, like, walk around. Mm-hmm. None of the organization members even mention him.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, with Zexion's fucking smelling the whole goddamn castle, which I don't know if that will be its own separate episode, but we would like to discuss it, the smelling and the scents and all that weird shit.
Yeah.
But either way, you would think that Zexion would be able to detect Diz and be like, there's I smell somebody and he smells bad or whatever.
Smells smelly.
I love Chain of Memories, God. Anyway, you know, but he doesn't seem to be afraid or worried or nervous. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about him more.
Yeah, me too. Okay, shall we move on to email questions?
You've got mail, yes.
Yay, we got mail. Oh my gosh, we got a message. Okay, so I'll read the first one. Mm-hmm. This is from Flynn. Hello again, Flynn. Thank you for your email.
Hi, Flynn.
So Flynn asks, does being a nobody just give you elemental powers and a custom weapon? Axel doesn't seem to be casting fire, Vexen doesn't seem to be casting blizzard, and flower isn't a spell, Marluxia. Where do these abilities come from?
Yeah, I don't know. Adrian, bless you, also asked something kind of similar.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's weird that these
different members? Because, like, you know, you gotta wonder, do they have all of these elemental powers because they're nobodies? Or do they have these elemental powers because they're part of the organization?
Right.
You know, we don't necessarily know.
Yeah, were they picked to be part of the organization because they had these abilities?
Yeah. So true, bestie. Like, or maybe, like, when they were assigned or, like, put in Castle Oblivion or whatever the term is. I think it's assigned.
Yeah.
Were they granted these powers? We don't know.
Yeah.
But it's definitely weird because it's like, it's not like, well, okay, I was about to say it's not like Sora and Riku have their own elements, but we've literally talked about episode.
They fucking do.
But
yeah, it's cute that they're all color coordinating. Larxene with her lightning and Marluxia with his pink hair flower. And Axel with his fire with the red hair. You know? So it's easy to remember. And then Zexion with his words in a book and his black hair. You know?
Great. The color of knowledge.
Yeah. It works out.
Danny from Peru asks something a little similar than what we just talked about. Is why do you think those specific members of the organization were chosen to go to Castle Oblivion? And I don't... That's so... Like, okay. To me, the way I organize the members is by rank. So, like, that's obvious because, like, I wrote the script and the script has an emphasis on their ranks. And maybe other fans don't really care about their ranks. Because it's not, like, vital information.
No.
But I think it can give context to what's going on. So, like, we have these members, right? Two of them seem pretty new compared to everybody else, Marluxia and Larxene. And then we have someone who isn't at the very top, Vexen, but he is number four. So he seems favorable in some sense. Yeah. And so I could imagine Vexen being sent to Castle Oblivion because he seems like he needs, like, a remote lab for all his weird little fucking experiments, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if replicas, which we're also going to have an episode on Replica Riku, so. But if Vexen needs to experiment with memories, then it's kind of fitting that they would send him to Castle Oblivion, where you can put memories on a card, insert it like a fucking disc, and then have the memories projected around you, you know?
Yeah.
But as for, like, as for people like Axel or people like even the loyal ones, like maybe I wonder if Lexius and Zexion were sent here to like make sure everybody stays on track because they're so they seem kind of loyal. But then they're fucking in the basement the whole time. So it's like, great job keeping an eye on everybody, pals. Like, way to go.
I feel like my opinion on this would be, like, the only way to really answer this question would be to look at the other existing members, which we obviously don't know about
yet.
So, it's kind of a hard question to answer at this point.
That's kind of why it's hard to talk about the organization in general. Yeah. It's because we know, we have in our heads all of these different members that have even more backstory, more abilities, more goals that we can't mention because we're not there yet, you know?
Yeah, we have the forbidden knowledge that we can't give to you yet. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Gonna have to wait for season three, unfortunately.
But I will say, like, I do think these bitches are fucking interesting.
Yeah.
And I wish, you know, you'd think with so many characters, we would have more to talk about, but because even though there's so many characters, there's even more that you don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't help that, like, they're all stuck in Castle Oblivion. Mm-hmm. So you would think that, like, the more they could walk around and, like, go to, like, their homes or go to this other headquarters or base that they...
Unfortunately, you know, they're just at work today, so we just need to see them in their office environment.
Bitch, this is the most boring game of Sims I've ever played.
Yeah. But yeah, they're cool and they're hot and we love them. And
so true, so true, so true.
I don't know. We'll find out more later about them.
So Adrian also asks, Adrian wrote three questions, but unfortunately we're only going to be able to answer two. Please forgive us, Adrian. But Adrian's third question is, the organization science team, which, like, the idea of the organization having a science division, like, I'm kind of obsessed with that. Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's because it just reminds me of, like, Jurassic Park. And, like,
yeah.
They're, like, with all these clipboards observing all these different little biological. Like, do they do that? No. But, like, in my head they do, and that's everything.
In my head they do, yeah.
The organization's science team talked about the Hero of Light, Sora, and the Hero of Darkness, Riku, as if those were established things. We haven't really heard about those terms before or since. Do you think those might be concepts yet to return? Hannah, what do you think? I want to know what you think about this question.
This is the first time I'm reading this question, I'm going to be honest with you, but let me try to put my thoughts together.
You just are so good at bringing a whole new perspective to things that I would have never thought of.
Okay, thank you.
I feel like this reminds me of you, and that you would have like a really good answer that I would have never given. Because you're so good at, you know, you are so familiar with media and with stories and the way that they're written and like...
thank you.
And so...
So my immediate thought is to just kind of write it off as early Kingdom Hearts stuff that, like, I don't know, that doesn't ever really get reconciled. But, like, if you want me to kind of take that approach to it of, like, overall media, this whole game we've talked about before is showing kind of two different sides to things. We talked about how we got to see a different side of Riku and how we get to see Sora kind of with a temper. It's just kind of like, and like all the contrast that's built into, you know, all the visuals and the characters and the setting and everything. So I'm just kind of thinking about that, having these two main characters as foils to each other, as a contrast to each other, and then, you know, just explaining them as the two main characters and bringing Riku, you know, transitioning him less from being a villain to being more of a protagonist type, as kind of presenting him as somewhat of an equal to Sora. And we talk about, you know, Mickey talks about with Riku, like, you're being able to use darkness in a way that we haven't really seen before. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just kind of introducing this concept of, like, maybe things are different than the way we know them. And we can... there can be both a hero of light and a hero of darkness. You know, even though we kind of see these things as quite literally black and white, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, this really isn't answering this question about do you think these are concepts yet to return? But I mean, like, I feel like this is not a concept that is left behind with these two being foils for each other. But, like, using it as, like, you know, a trademarked term, maybe not, but, like, I don't know.
But you're right. You're right. I see what you mean. Like, Riku... you know, what he goes through in Kingdom Hearts 1 is still carried with him to this day.
Yeah.
So I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
We haven't, you know, let go of that and, like, been like,
yeah,
okay, Riku's just, like, Sora now. Like,
yeah, exactly. And, yeah, just, like, looking specifically at your question, I think you're more asking about those specific terms because you capitalized Hero of Light and Hero of Darkness. That, I don't know. That would be more of a you answer, Mel. It's just, like, something, because, you know, words have meaning and all that, but...
I think you're right, though. I think if those were still trademark terms,
that they would have been used in, like, you know, without any context, like, so-and-so would have said it in Dream Drop Distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would have been said in Kingdom Hearts 3, and they just never are.
Yeah.
You know?
Which
I think is kind of, like, a shame.
Yeah.
Because if Mickey is still running around with this other Kingdom Key,
yeah,
like, bitch, give that to Riku. If you found it in the Realm of Darkness, give that to Riku. Let him have it, bitch.
So aren't those words capitalized like that in the script? Do you know?
Oh, I can look. Let me look.
Because, yeah, it, like, to me, it seems like he's kind of using those terms loosely.
And, you know, I kind of understand that because I also have a bad habit. Kingdom Hearts kind of fucked me up. I don't know why, but it gave me a really bad habit of capitalizing nouns that are not actually proper nouns.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of, like, Heartless and Nobody's.
Right.
But, like, sometimes when writing our scripts, I'll find myself capitalizing door. And I'm like, I don't need to fucking capitalize that. Like, stop that. Yeah. I don't need to capitalize that.
Yeah.
But I'm just so used to it. So I completely understand other Kingdom Hearts fans who do that.
Yeah.
What am I looking up? Hero of Light?
Yeah, Hero of Light and Hero of Darkness. I just want to know if they're, like, in the subtitles capitalized like that.
Interesting. So according to this website, let me paste this for you. They're not capitalized, but I can also check and see. I trust this website, but I might as well double check.
Yeah, I would like to see. I would like to look at, like, the actual cutscene that says it.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, no, it's not. Let me show you. Let me do a timestamp. How interesting. But you see, Zexion also says, for our superior. And superior is capitalized.
Yeah.
So interesting. So maybe, you know, it's not necessarily left behind, like Hannah said, but it's not necessarily, like, a term.
Yeah, because it's not, like, a proper noun in this.
Especially because, like, when you... In current Kingdom Hearts games, there are so many proper nouns in, like, defined terminology that they have, like, a whole glossary of terms. But Hero of Light and Hero of Darkness are not in there.
Yeah, so in my mind, this is, like... You know, Sora is not the capital LH light hero, and Riku is not the capital DH dark hero, but like a hero of the light, a hero using the light, a hero of the dark, hero using the dark.
Yeah.
Hopefully that clears a little bit of that up. That's our interpretation of it.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get, like, really looking into terms like that with this series.
Totally.
But
okay, well,
yeah, I think that's it for our discussion. Good discussion today.
Yes, I'm hoping that in the presentation we include, like, all these little tips for remembering characters, you know. And, like, part of me when I was writing that was like, is this, like, too baby? Like, are people not gonna, like, are people gonna listen to this and be like, yeah, I know everybody's fucking name, dumbass. Like, I'm not fucking stupid.
I think they're silly and fun.
Yes, they're silly and they're fun. And plus, you never know. There might be that, because let me tell you, I can watch a TV show that's five seasons long and still not know someone's name. That's who I am. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking out for people like me.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for people like me.
I'll watch a whole movie and still call the main character's name by their actor's name. Like, that's yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But yeah, so that's it. We have a few things to say before we wrap up today. Quick tiny little programming note, we're not going to be posting an episode next week because Mel and I have some personal stuff going on, so no episode week of May 6th.
Yeah, we have to summon Kingdom Hearts.
We have to summon Kingdom Hearts for research, okay? We are on the ground reporters just having to do all of this just for you guys, so that's where we'll be. But our next episode, what is it going to be about? Mel.
Our next episode is going to be about Naminé and how she can manipulate memories.
Very exciting. And you know what else is exciting? We have a little surprise for you for our next episode. So it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be so great. I literally can't wait. for us to record next episode. Yeah! I literally can't wait. It's going to be so cool. And I'm excited for you guys to see it and listen to it and all of that. So yeah, no episode next week, but we'll be back with a big swing of an episode on the 13th.
Yes.
But yeah, if you have questions about Nominee or how memory mm-hmm. works, mm-hmm. send your questions to sheddingstarlight@gmail.com. If you like the show, if you're excited for a surprise in 2 weeks, be sure to rate the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We love to see those. I love watching the little number go up. And then if you are on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to us, tell your friends. Tell your friends about Shining Starlight. We know you got your Kingdom Hearts friends.
We know they're out there.
We know they're out there.
Don't be lying.
Don't be lying. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you all for watching, and we will see you in the starlight.